Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samach Hei, and we will begin on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Bei, six lines from the bottom. Amalei Rabbi Yosef Berei Derava Lerava. By my name Rabbi Yosef, I once asked Rabbi Yosef, Halacha Karebi, is the Halacha like Rebbe? As we had learned in the previous shiur, there's a machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, how many times something has to happen that it should be considered that there is a chazaka. Rebbe said after two occurrences we have a chazaka. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said after three occurrences we have a chazaka. So the Gemara says that they asked of Rabbi Yosef, is the halacha Rebbe vamerly in? Yes, the halacha is like Rebbe. Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is the halacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel vamerly in? Yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And we have here Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand exactly what happened here. According to Rashi, one time he asked him, who's the halacha like? And he told him the halacha is like Rebbe. Another time he asked him, who's the halacha follow? And he told him the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Tosfos says that he asked him, is the halacha like Rebbe or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? And he told him the halacha is like both. So he says, I thought he was ridiculing me. The halacha cannot be both like Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amalei, loy. This is not a joke. Stamehu or Pashadlach. There are Stam Mishnais. As we know, the halacha generally follows a Stam Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah. And we have different Stam Mishnais regarding different areas of halacha. Some following the opinion of Rebbe, some following the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Nesuyin or Malkus, a Mishnah that speaks about marriage and about Malkus. Each one of these subjects will be explained in the Gemara. We have the Mishnah following the opinion of Rebbe. Vestas for Sharamud, and regarding Vestas and Sharamud, the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Nesuyin, when we speak about marriage, Hadamaran, as what we discussed in the previous year, that if a woman was married twice for 10 years and did not have children, Rachmana Litzlan, she should not get married again because we're concerned that she's unable to have children. If a woman was married twice and her husband, as we said in the previous year, died deaths at young age or not in a normal situation, we don't allow this woman to get married a third time. Malkus, what does it mean when we speak about Malkus? The Tanan. The Mishnah says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Mi Shaloka Vashana, if somebody committed an Aveira which is an Aveira for which there is a Chiv Karas, and he repeated, as the Gemara says there, the same Aveira a second time, Bezdin Kainsonai Selekipa, Bezdin would bring him into a cell, and then they would feed him barley until his stomach bursts. As the Gemara explains, the Rambam explains this, they would bring him into a cell which was a very small room, only enough room for him to stand, and then they would feed him this barley which would cause his stomach to bloat, and after they feed him this food that causes him to bloat, then they would give him other food until ultimately he passed away. Machlokes, if this punishment is a deraisa for somebody who did the same aveira twice, or is it midrabbanan that they said that he deserves this serious punishment. So here we see that after he did the aveira twice, it's already considered that he's a muchzik to do this Aveira. So the Mefarshim asks, if we're saying that this Mishnah indeed represents the opinion of Rebbe, that after he did the Aveira twice, he's already considered a Baal Aveira deserving this terrible punishment, so why already after the second time don't we give him this punishment? Why do we wait for the third time? So the Mefarshim answer that we don't, as we know, the halacha is kimlei b'derabbanei. One, we don't give two punishments for the same Aveira. And since when he transgressed this sin the second time, we had already given him Malchus, we cannot give him also this punishment. Vestus, we said that in Vestus, the halacha follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, that three times is considered a chazaka. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Nida, Eino Isha Kavas Lavest, a woman does not have a time which we consider a specific fixed time where we can assume she will have her period, Acha Tekvena Shalosh Pamim, until she had the period the same time 3 days. In other words, let's say for three times each month on Rosh Chodesh she has a period, then she has a veset every Rosh Chodesh. As the Mishnah and the Halacha teaches us, that's when their veset is to a specific date. If it's a veset afloga, that there's a certain interval between each time she receives a period, so then she's going to really need four times to have that, to establish that vest, because with four rias, with four seeings of dam, she has three intervals. So we see here, Acha Tekvena Shalosh Pamim, she has a vest of kavua when she saw the same, her period, the same date, three times. And as Rashi explains regarding what do we need to establish a vesed kavua, regarding a number of halachas. One halacha, Rashi says, is that if a woman does not have a vesed kavua, so we assume, unless we know for sure differently, that the 24 hours before she actually saw dam, she might have already begun to bleed, and whatever she touched would become tameh. That's only by a woman who does not have a vesed kavua. A woman who has a vesed kavua, we could assume, only saw on the time when she was expected to see. But on the other hand, there's a chumrah to a vesed kavua. If a woman has a vesed kavua and she did not check herself to see if she's clean, we assume that she's not clean. On the other hand, a woman who doesn't have a vesed kavua, if she did not check herself, and she doesn't know that she saw dam, we do not assume that she saw. Furthermore, a woman who has a vesed kavua does not break it, unless there are three times that she, the date in which she was expecting her period passed without her having seen her period, that is a proof that vesed kavua has been broken. And as the Rishonim explain, why in the previous Mishnayos that our Gemara quoted in today's shir do we follow the opinion of Rebbe, and here do we follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel? So Rishonim explain, the first situation that we spoke about is the woman who's woman and marriage. So if it's a situation of the woman who has not had children in the two previous marriages, so it's a question of a deraisa, her husband should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of pruur vu. That's why we're machmer. And if it's a situation that two of her husbands have passed away, so it's a shaila, it's a situation of sakana, and that's why we're machmer, that after two times, it's already considered a chazaka. Similarly, by a person who's done an aveira, a serious aveira, for which there's a chiyuv karis, we're more stringent, and after two times, we already establish chazaka. But regarding vestus, as we learned earlier in our perek, vestus, most Rishonim, and that's the halacha, say that it's only a derabbanan, and therefore we're more lenient, and we only establish a veset after three times. Vishara Mu'ud, the next case where we follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel is regarding Shara Mu'ud. The Tanan, Eina Shara Nasa Mu'ud, we know that there's a difference if an axe does damage, if he's a Shara Mu'ud, then his owner pays Nezek Shalim. If he's a Shar Tam, his owner pays Chatzi Nezek. Teaches us the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Kama, the Eina Shar Nasa Mu'ud, an animal does not become a Shar Mu'ud, Ad Shi Idu Bai Shalosh Pamim, unless it did damage three times. So here too we follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that a Chazak is only with three times. So here we have a number of opinions on how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim understand that this really is also a situation where Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel argue, yet the Mishnah tells us that here we follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel that an animal does not become a sharmud until three times. Tosfos, however, takes a different approach. Tosfos says that the animal is really, even Rebbe will agree that an animal does not become a sharmud until three times. And in understanding what Tosfos means to say, we also find a machloikus achronim. Some achronim explain Tosfos quite simply. The Tosfos is saying that since the pasuk indicates that for an animal to become a sharmud we need three times, this is a gzeiras hakasif that teaches us that this is different than any other situation, and an animal only becomes a sharmud after three times. Other rishonim, other achronim, and this is the way I saw Rav Shlomo Hyman explains Tosfos, that Rebbe actually holds, as he holds everywhere else, that an animal only becomes a shor hamud, becomes already a shor hamud after two times. Here, when the Mishnah tells us that it takes three times, that's only regarding the specific tashlumim of nezek sholim. In order to make the owner have to pay nezek sholim for a shor hamud, not just chatzi nezek, which a shor tam pays, there the Torah says that he had to have done the damage three times that it should be considered a shor hamud. There's also a very interesting shaila that the achronim discuss that is actually relevant lahalacha lemaisa in understanding what does our gemara mean that an animal becomes a shor hamud after the damage three times. One way of understanding it is that if an animal did damage three times, it became rogel, it became accustomed to doing damage, and therefore it has a halacha of a shor hamud. Another way of understanding a shor hamud is that an animal that did damage three times, we have a hoichacha, we have clear proof that this is an animal that is of the category of a shor hamud, that has the din that it pays nezek sholim. Where would this be relevant lahaloch lamaisa? So the Paiskim say, we know that on Shmini Atzeres we begin saying Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem. And if one omits saying Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem, then he has to repeat Shmon Esrei. So Meram Rottenberg comes up with a solution, because the halacha also is, says the Shulchan Aruch, that for the first 30 days after Yontif, we could assume that a person did not say Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem, because a person is accustomed not to saying it, so we could assume that he continued not saying it. Says the Meram Rottenberg, what he can do is say Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem 90 times. That will make him accustomed to saying it, and then we don't have to be concerned that if we don't know if he said it or not, we could assume that he actually did say it. And the Meram Rottenberg brings a proof to his psak from the halacha of a shor, that if an animal can become a sharmud after three times doing damage, even those three times weren't consecutive, certainly if a person sat and said Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem 90 times consecutively, that will make him accustomed, and we could assume that he's going to be always saying Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem. Say the Paiskim, it really depends on how we understand an animal becomes a shor hamud. If we understand that an animal becomes a shor hamud, that because it became accustomed to doing damage, so then the Meram Rottenberg's raya is excellent. This person also became accustomed to saying Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem. But if we understand that an animal becomes a shor hamud because it's a chacha, it's a proof that this is what this animal is, that this is the category of this animal that's a shor hamud, so Hachacha has nothing to do with Mashav Ruach Amarit HaGeshem, and we could not bring a proof for one concept of Halacha to the other. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabban, we learned in a Brisa, and this is Larishin. If a woman was married to the first husband, V'loi Hayu Loi Bonim, and they did not have children, L'Sheni, and then she married a second husband, V'loi Hayu Loi Bonim, and again they had no children, L'Shlishi Loi Tanasei, she should not marry a third husband, El L'Mishi Yesh Loi Bonim, only to somebody who already has children, who already has been Mekayim, the mitzvah a puravu, and continues the brayso to teach us, nisus lamisha ein leibonim, if she married someone who did not have children, teitzei b'lo ksuba, he should divorce her, and he doesn't have to pay a ksuba. So as Tosfos explains the Gemara, our Gemara is referring to a situation where a woman married the third husband, and the third husband was not aware that she had already been married twice without successfully having children. And therefore, now when he marries her, and is indeed discovered that she was married twice with not having children, the husband divorces her, but he doesn't have to pay ksuba. And as the Rishonim point out, he does have to give her a get. Because only if the woman was clearly identified as an islandess, though Chazal say, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that that marriage is a mekach tos, and even a get is not required. However, in this situation, where she taka didn't have children in her previous marriages, but she does not have the characteristics, the physical characteristics of an islandess, we do not allow her to leave him without a get, but a ksubi doesn't have to pay, because he's supposed to be able to have children, and she isn't able to have children, and he wasn't aware of it. According to this approach, if he was aware that she did not have children from the previous marriages and still married her, it seems that he would have to pay ksuba. Tosfos goes on again to explain that according to Rebbe, that a chazaka is established after two times. So why is it only the third husband that doesn't have to pay the ksuba, not the second husband? So Tosfos repeats what we said a moment ago. Tosfos says that even Rebbe agrees that when it comes to dinei mamonos, regarding payment, a chazaka is only established after three times. That's why Tosfos said, Ishar Amud, even Rebbe agrees, will only pay nezek shalem after doing damage a third time. And that's why only the third husband, says Tosfos, does not have to pay the ksuba, but the second husband would have to pay the ksuba. Also, most Rishonim explain our Gemara that it's only because this third husband doesn't have children and he has not yet been mekayim the mitzvah, a pruravu, that's why he has to divorce her and not pay ksuba. But if he already had children, so he was already mekayim the mitzvah pruravu, he has to either remain with her, or if he divorces her, he has to pay the ksuba. The Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says that even if he has children, since he wasn't aware of this flaw in this woman, that she was married without children, and a person, as we learned earlier in the parak, Rabbi Yeshua told us, La'arav al tanach yadecha, a person has to constantly attempt to continue having children. So even if this person was already mekayim the mitzvah puravu, says the Ramban, he would divorce her and not have to pay her a ksuba. That's the approach that most Rishonim take in explaining our Gemara. Other Rishonim, the Meiri, explains our Gemara that this is a knas, that certainly the marriage is a completely valid marriage, and that's why certainly if it's going to be terminated, he has to give her a get. The reason a ksuba is not paid is because of a special knas, because of a special fine for this woman marrying him without notifying him of her situation. Ibailuhu. So they asked in the yeshiva, Nisus l'shlishi, if she married a third husband, v'lo haya lebanim, and she didn't have children, ma'ad l'tva harach kamoi, can the first husband, the first two husbands who had married her and divorced her and paid her a ksuba, now come back and say, we want our money back? Because now, by the fact that you were married to this third husband and also unfortunately didn't have children, it's a clear proof that it's your fault that we didn't have children, and therefore you're not entitled to ksuba. Me matzis amrele, igloi milsa de adhu de garment, it's obvious that it's your fault. Oidem matzis amreluhu, or perhaps she could say, hashtahu de kachashi, it's not that I got sick, but not that I was weak and unable to have children when I was married to you. And when we were married in the previous marriages, it wasn't me, the woman's fault, but it was you rather, the husband's fault. Says the Gemara, Mistabra Matus Armelhu, we assume that she's able to say, Hashta to the Kachshi, I have now grown weak, and it, therefore I'm not obligated to return to you the money for the ksuba that you paid me. Ibailhu. So now the Gemara asks a different question. Nisus Laravi, she married a fourth husband, Vahayulai Bonim, and they Baruch Hashem had children. Mada Titfilishlishi, as we just learned in the Gemara, the third husband, specifically under the circumstances we described, does not have to pay a ksuba. But now she married the fourth husband, and she had Baruch Hashem children with him. So this is clearly an indication that she is able to have children, and therefore she is entitled to ksuba from the third husband. And that's the Gemara Shaila. Ma de titba lishlishi, can she now go back to the third husband and demand a ksuba payment? Amrila, answers the Gemara, we tell her, shtikuch sayich yofim adarabarayich. It befits you to remain silent. The Matzah Amrila, because if you're going to indeed make this claim, he could then say, I only divorced you because I thought that you're not able to have children. Now, when it turned out that you are able to have children, so the divorce was never a divorce, and therefore you should have never married the fourth man. You're an Eshes Ish, and your children are a Mamzerim. Therefore, it benefits you just not to say anything. Maskula Rapapa asks Rapapa, Iyashaska Anamashis Mishaskinan, and the way most Rishonim, the Ritva, and other Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. Fine. She has been given to understand that it's not in her benefit to make any claims. But the Gemara's question is, how can we indeed not pay attention to what happened here and not be concerned that the divorce from the third husband wasn't a good divorce because it was given under a mistaken impression? If she's indeed not going to make any claims, can we ignore the facts? Nimtza get bottle, and now that she married this husband and had children, so it's obvious that the fact that the third husband had to divorce her was incorrect, so isn't that going to disqualify the get, and therefore the children she had from the fourth husband, but now mamzerim? Ella, aminan hashtu debriyosi. We have to say that it's only now that she became healthy, and indeed when she got divorced from the third husband, she wasn't healthy. And that's why the divorce was a fully acceptable divorce. It's now that she got better and is able to have children with the next husband. Says the Gemara, Hu amamina v'hamramine. We have a situation where the couple is getting divorced and they're disagreeing who's at fault for them not having children. Because if it's her fault that they didn't have children, as we've said, then she's not entitled to a ksuba. So the husband says, it's her fault that they didn't have children. She's infertile. But here, Amr Mina, he has a problem. Amr of Ami, Tvarim Shebeinah Lebeinah, in these private matters between him and her, Namenis. She's the one that we give the Namonis to. V'tamamai, why do we trust her more than we trust him? He came love yarkhets. She's able to tell us how he ejaculates, because the halach is that a man who doesn't ejaculate with a force, that semen will not be able to cause it to conceive. Who like kim love yarkhets, but he doesn't feel that, and he's not able to make that determination, and that's why she is believed over him. The Rishonim make a very important point. The Gemara says, Masechta Nedarim, and that's Ayin Zayin, that if a woman comes and tells her husband that she did something that would require him to divorce her, we don't believe her. Because we're concerned, Shema Nosna Inaya Be'achar. Perhaps she really has eyes on another man, and she's just coming up with this story in order that her husband should divorce her and she should be able to marry that other man. So ask the Rishonim, if that's the G'din, why don't we say the same thing here, that we shouldn't believe her when she says that her husband isn't Yoyrik Echeitz, because she really just wants to marry another man, who wants him to divorce her so she can marry someone else. So explains the Ritva, that indeed, if a woman came on her own and said to Beis Din, I request a divorce because my husband is not Yoyrik Echeitz, we would not believe her, because we're concerned Shem and Nosna Neba Acher. Here the situation that the Gemara is discussing is a situation where the husband and wife were married 10 years. And it's Beis Din that introduces themselves and say that this couple, as we learned in the Mishnah, have to get divorced. So since the initiative for this divorce did not come from her, rather it came from Beis Din, that's why she's believed. The Gemara continues. Amar Ihu, the husband is continuing to say that I know I'm able to have children. And the way I'll prove it is Ezel Intisav Itisa, I'll go marry another woman, Vivdag Nashai, and we'll see if I indeed can have children. And the Machlokes Rishonim, exactly what he means to say with this. Some Rishonim say that what he means to say is, let my new wife come and testify my abilities. Another pshat is that we'll see if my next wife indeed gets pregnant. And if my wife gets pregnant, it's obvious that I am Yoyrik Echeitz. Omer Reb Ami, Reb Ami says that we don't accept his request. The halacha is Yoytzevi Kin Ksuba. He has to divorce her and give her a Ksuba. Shani Omer, because Reb Ami says, Kol Noisi Isha Alishtoi, whoever takes in a new wife, the first wife could say, I did not agree to get married to a husband that's going to have more than one wife, and she could demand that Yoytzi, he should give her a get, v'itin ksuma peyde ksuba. Rava, on the other hand, says that we will accept the husband's request. Noisei adam kama noshim al ishtoi, a husband can marry as many wives as he wants, provided that he has the ability to support them both financially and emotionally. Continues the Gemara. Hu amar, he says, apalt begoy eser, you miscarried some time during the 10 years, and as we learned in the Mishnah, that if the woman miscarried, the count of 10 years doesn't begin from when they got married, the count of the 10 years begins from the date of the miscarriage. Vi amra, and she says, lo yapelis, I did not miscarry, and therefore the count starts from when we got married, and 10 years have passed. Amr of Ami, apazu hina menis. Here too, we trust him over her. Dem isa de pila, if it's true that she did miscarry, nafsha bakarta loy mechaska, a woman is not going to say that she is never had children. And if she said it, it must be that she's saying the truth. And again, the Ritva says, it's in a situation where Beis Din got involved, she didn't initiate this conversation. Another situation, Pila, a woman miscarried, V'chazra Pila, and then miscarried a second time, V'chazra V'pila, and miscarried a third time. Hu Amra, Huchzkul Nefalim, so if she miscarried three times, she has a chazaka that she miscarries. And the Rishonim point out that even though we learned at the beginning of the Shir, the Machloikis of Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, how many times it takes to make a chazaka, two or three times, Rebbe saying two times, Rav Shimon Gamliel saying three times, here even Rebbe will agree that a chazaka that a woman miscarried is only established with three times. One reason the Rishonim explain, the Ramban and the Rashbah, they explain because since we're dealing already with a situation where a couple are married, so we're breaking a marriage. To break a marriage, even Rebbe will agree we need that she miscarried three times. Another pshat that I saw is that since many women, it's quite common, particularly women at the beginning of having, conceiving, miscarry. So it's not such a proof that she, if she miscarried only two times, and even Rebbe will agree that she needs to miscarry three times to be considered a woman that has chazaka to miscarry. There is a shaila in the Rishonim, two interesting shailas. Do we combine miscarriages from different husbands? That means, let's say a woman miscarried from husband one once, and then she was married to a second husband, she miscarried twice. Will we say that now she has a chazaka that she miscarries, or does miscarriage require that she miscarried three times with the same husband? Another shaila is, how many years does this chazaka take to make? Do we say that if a woman miscarried three times, she already has a chazaka that she miscarries and her husband should divorce her? Or is this still the halacha, as we learned in the Mishnah, that we have to wait at least 10 years? Hu amar, and now we have this couple having a dispute. Hu amar apila trei, you only miscarry twice, and therefore you are not yet entitled to a divorce. V'yamar talas, and she said, I miscarried three times, and I'm entitled to divorce. Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, of the Hava ben Midrasha, such a situation happened in the Beis Medrash. V'amar hi mehemna, and they said that she is believed. Dim isa de loy apla, if she did not miscarry a third time, nafsha ben nefila loy mechaska, a woman is not going to establish herself as a woman who has a chazaka to miscarry, unless it was indeed the case. Says the Mishnah, ish mitzuvah pir rivya, a man is commanded in the mitzvah pur revu, avalai isha, but not the woman. V'yachme breik oimer, al shneim oimer, to both the man and the woman, does the Torah say, v'yoyme v'yvarach esam elokim, v'yoyme lehem elokim pur revu. So they both have the obligation, both Adam and Chava had the obligation to be mekayim the mitzvah of pur revu. Says the Gemara, Menani Mili, from where does the Tanna Kama know that only the man is required in the mitzvah puruvu, not the woman? Amr b'ilah mishimar b'lazar Reb Shimon, Amr Kra, the Pasuk says, Umilo es aretz v'chifshuha. Ish darka livsha kichbosh, the man has the ability to conquer, the man has the characteristic of conquering, v'en ish darka lichbosh. Mechloikus v'shoinim, how to understand this? Some say it means lichbosh, to capture. Men are the ones that go out in battle, not women. Other Rishonim explain, men are the one who control the act of bia, not women. Ask the Gemara, Adirabba, v'chifshua, the word v'chifshua means two people, tati mafshe, so it should teach us that both the man and woman are obligated in this mitzvah. Amram Nachman b'Yitzchak, v'chifshua k'siv. The Torah says it without a vav, which is the Lashon Yachid, only speaking to the man. And as Rishonim point out, even though we have many times Machloikas and Shas, do we follow Yesh Eim L'Mesiris or Yesh Eim L'Mikra? Do we follow the way it's read or the way it's read or the way it's written? Everybody here agrees that we follow the way it's read, and it's read in Lashon Yachid. Rav Yosef says, we prove it from here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Kel Shakai Prey Urvei. Again, this speaks in the singular because it's only speaking to the man. V'loikam Puruvu. Ask Tosfos that even though by Adam Arishan, and other Rishonim point out it, by Noach 2, it says the words Pru Urvu, that only means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them a bracha. A bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to both the man and the woman. But the obligation rests only on the man. The Amar of Ilam Shimon, Elazar of Shimon. Shem Shemitzo Adam Loima Deva Nishma. Just like a person has to say something, say Musr, when he assumes that's going to be accepted. Kach Mitzvah Al Adam Shloi Loima Davish En Nishma. So too should a person not say something when it's not going to be listened to. And as the Rishonim explained, the Pasuk that teaches us the obligation, the Rif says this, the Pasuk that teaches us the obligation to give toichacha is the pasuk hoichiach toichiach, and the question is, why does the pasuk change? It should say either hoichiach hoichiach or toichiach toichiach. What does it say? Toichiach, toichiach. To teach us toichiach. When should you say musr? Toichiach. To a person who will accept it. That's when we should say musr. The Rishonim ask that the Gemara says, in Masech the Erchin, that a person is supposed to give toichacha until hakol, until the person he's giving toichacha to hits him. Yet Al-Gamar seems to say that if you don't assume that the person, if the person's not going to listen to you, then you shouldn't give Musr. So there are a number of answers, all very relevant, la'aloch la'maisa, given. Some say the difference is between a yochid and a rabbin. The Ritva says, a yochid person has to continue giving toichacha adaka until he'll be hit. A rabbin, if a person sees that the rabbin is not going to listen to what he says, then he doesn't have to continue. The Shlo gives the makes the following distinction. He says that if the person knows that he's doing an Aveira, then there's no point in giving him Musar. Because he knows he's doing an Aveira, and he just doesn't care. On the other hand, if the person just doesn't recognize that what he's doing is an Aveira, then we continue giving him Musar until he recognizes. There's also a different distinction that the Mishnah Berurah discusses. There's a difference if it's a Doraisa or Durabonon. By a Doraisa, we have to continue giving Musar. By a Durabonon, there's a concept of Mutav Shiye Shagigin Vahe Mezidin. But in the Ramah makes an interesting point. Normally, we don't just consider a deraisa something that says explicitly in the Torah. If Chazal tells us that something is a deraisa, we know it's a deraisa. Here, however, the Ramah seems to say that something is only considered a deraisa if the pasuk says it explicitly. Continues the Gemara. Rav Abba Amar, Chayva. It's not only a mitzvah not to give Musar if it's not going to be accepted, it's an obligation not to give Musar under such circumstances. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Al toichach leitz pen yisna'echa, choichach lochechon v'yoavecha. Don't give Musar to a leitz, only give Musar to a chacham. But there's a beautiful pshat that I saw. The pasuk here is teaching us how one should approach the person whom he's giving Musar to. Al toichach leitz. When you don't give mutzer by leitz, by saying to the person, you're a leitz, you're no good, you're a balaveira, you're rasha. That's not the way to give mutzer. Choychach, what is the right way to give mutzer? L'chochom, tell the person, you're such a choshva person, you're such a great person. Is it befitting that a person like you should do an aveira? The way we give the mutzer is so very important. Vam Rab Ilam Mishim Rab Elazar Rab Shimon. Mutar La'ayla Adam L'shanes B'dvar HaShalom. A person could say something not 100% true if it's going to cause peace. Shenema, as we find that the brothers told Yosef after Yaakov died, Avicha Tziva. Your father told us that you shouldn't. Avicha tziva lufnei moysa leimar kashayim ala yosef ona sa pesha achecha v'chetosim kirog melucha v'ata sona lefesha avdei ala kei avicha v'yeifch yosef l'dar melof koi oim ala yosef ona sona. So as Mepharshim explain, what the Gemara is teaching us here is that one may distort the truth to make peace. However, the Mepharshim, most Rishonim and Achronim, say that's only in the circumstance that it will not be a total outright lie. For example, in this situation, the brothers of Yosef were concerned that he would hold a grudge against them, especially now that Yaakov died. And as the Mepharshim explained, they were particularly concerned because when they came back from the burial of Yaakov Avinu, Yosef stopped where he was in the pit to where he was thrown. So they saw that he remembers. Furthermore, the Shibud Mitzrayim began after Yaakov's death, and the Shvatim were concerned that it was because of the sin that they had sold Yosef, and Yosef was a moichel them. So they came and they didn't say explicitly, our father told us this. Number one, they sent the Rishonim say, they sent this message through a shliach. Number two, Yaakov Avinu did tell his children before he passed away that he wants them to live ba'achdus u'b'sholem. He might not have said these exact things, but he did get the point across that he wants achdus, and therefore this wasn't a complete lie. Moreover, the Mefarsh, the Paiskim say, we already mentioned this, they only something l'sha'ovar, only something referring to the past to be said to create sholem, not something to the future. Under those circumstances, a lie should never be said. Rav Nosson Omer, Rav Nosson says it's a mitzvah. Shenemar, v'yoyim Shmuel, eich eilech Shmuel, shol, eich eilech v'sham eshov argeni. Hashem had sent David, Shmuel, to the house of Yishai to anoint the new king, because he no longer wanted Shaul to be the king. And Shmuel was concerned that if Shaul would find him and ask him, where are you going, he would be very upset. So what Shem told him is that he should take along an egless bokar. He should take along sheep and say he's going to bring a carbon. So Mepharshim asked, there's no proof from there, because there was a situation of danger. So bikuach nefesh, everything is mutter. Explain to Mepharshim that our Gemara is going coin to the man, the Omer, that a shlich mitzvah, Shmuel was a shlich mitzvah, even in a situation of shchich hazeka, where there's a serious danger, still the halacha is he doesn't have to be concerned, but still, because to keep the peace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to bring an egla. Another pshat that I saw, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to bring an egla, we know that egla represents the egla rufa that's brought if somebody's murdered, and Shmuel was telling Shaul, be careful not to do damage to me, be careful not to kill me. We know how serious, from the parish of Egla Rufa, killing someone is. The Bear of Shmuel Tani, God la Shalom, Shafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shinibo. We even find that Kadosh Baruch Hu changes for Shalom. The Mekarek Siv, Vadoni Zokin. When Sarah was informed that she's having children, she said, my husband is old. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu reports to Avram what happened, he said that she said that I'm old. And there's a machloikus v'shoinim, which reflects what we discussed a moment ago. What exactly happened? Did Sarah say that we're both old, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu just repeated the part that she said that she's old? And again, so it's not a complete lie, because even for the sake of peace, a complete lie is not permitted. Or was it a complete lie that she said my husband is old, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it to saying that Sarah said that I am old? The Chasam Sofer says that even though our Gemara just taught us how important Sholem is, sometimes Machloikis is the better path. To hold machloikis and people that, to have machloikis with people that were supposed to have machloikis, is something, sometimes the thing that's supposed to do. In fact, he says the gematria of the words sholem rov are the same as machloikis without the vav. Sometimes sholem rov, the greatest peace, is achieved with machloikis. Rav Yochanan Breukheimer, Rav Yochanan says that both the man and the woman are obligated in the mitzvah puruvu. Itmer Rav Yochanan Rav Shuba Levi. Chanam aloch Rav Yochanan Breukheimer. One said the aloch is like Rav Yochanan Breukheimer. For chanam en aloch Rav Yochanan Breukheimer. One said the aloch is not like Rav Yochanan Breukheimer. Says the Gemara to Stayim. It's Rav Yochanan who omit en aloch. It's Rav Yochanan that says the aloch doesn't follow Rav Yochanan Breukheimer. To Yos Ravua. Ravua was once sitting. The Ka'amr Mishmeid Rav Yochanan Haloch. He was saying in the name of Rav Yochanan that the aloch is like Rav Yochanan Breukheimer. The Drinner Rav Ami Rav Asi Lapayu. Rav Asi turned away to show him that they were dissatisfied with what we were saying and that they do not agree with Rav Avu's quote of Rav Yochanan. Vikad Amri, Rav Chiba Abba Oma, it was Rav Chiba Amma who quoted Rav Yochanan saying that Allah is like Rav Yochanan Breuker. Vedrinu Rav Ami Rav Asi Lapayu. Rav Ami Rav Asi were the ones that turned away their faces. Omra Papa, Bishlal Mandam Rav Avu Amrua, according to Mandam, it was Rav Avu quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Kvod Bekeis Lo Amalei Midi. Since, as the Gemara tells us, in Masechta Ksubos, Masechta Sanhedrin. Reb Avuah was a very favorite person in the king's house, so they had to treat him with respect, and that's why they didn't tell him explicitly that you're quoting Rabbi Yochanan incorrectly. Elamanda Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amra, according to Amanda Amr, Rabbi Chiya is the one that says it. So why didn't they tell him explicitly that Rabbi Yochanan never said that? My havelo, what is the halacha? Toshma, Amr of Ach Bachanina, Amr of Avu, Amr of Asi, of the Havakamei, Rabbi Yochanan Bekishti, to Beit Kisri. There was a couple who did not have children, and the woman demanded a get in the shul of Kisri. V'amar yoytziv yitin ksuba. Rabbi Yochanan said he has to give her a get and pay her the ksuba. If we're going to say that the woman doesn't anyway have the mitzvah puruvu ksuba ma'ivirita, why is she entitled to a ksuba? It must be that because she has the mitzvah puruvu, and that's why she had a right to demand a divorce from a husband that she didn't have children with. Says the Gemara, maybe there is no chiva puruvu on a woman, but she had a very valid claim anyway. Ki da asal kamedra of ami. Amrle havli ksuba, divorce me and give me ksuba because my husband is sterile. Amrle zil, leave loy mefkdis. You're not obligated to have children. Amrle, so she said to him, misiba delay might have a lach that say. But if I stay with this man, what will be with me when I become old? Omar, that I won't have any children to take care of me. Omar, ki ha vadikafinan, under such circumstances, she has a right to demand a get and a ksuba. Similar case. Huda Osla Kamed Rav Nachman. There was a woman that came to Rav Nachman and wanted a divorce because she had no children with her husband. So he said, you're not obligated to have children. Don't I need chutra l'yada, came from my hand, amara l'kfura, and somebody to bury me, children to take care of me when I'm old and pass away. Amma kavada kafina, under those circumstances has a valid claim for a ksuba and a get. Although Tosfos quotes a machlokes Rabbeinu Chanan and Rabbeinu Tam, if under these circumstances does she get her whole ksuba or does she only get the ksuba but not the Tosfos ksuba. Furthermore, the Pesukim say that she has no claim if she has a son, even just one son, or even if she has many Rishonim say just one daughter, and some Pesukim say that even if she has an adopted child, these claims are no longer valid claims. Yehuda v'Cheskia to'um mehayu. Yehuda and Cheskia were twins. Echad nigmar tzuras l'saif tish. One was completed, came out from his mother's womb after 9 months of pregnancy. V'echad nigmar tzuras l'tchila sheva. And one was born at the beginning of the 7th month. So, in other words, their mother, Yehuda's tavis drabchia, havelet tzar leida. She had a very difficult labor. She was in labor for essentially 3 months. Shani mana, so she changed her clothing to disguise herself. Vosla kamed Rukhiya, and she came in front of her husband Rukhiya. Amra, itis a mifkada pirvirvya, is a woman obligated to mitzvah pirvirvya? Amra loy. So she said no. Osa ashta samada akarta. So she went and drank a type of a drink that makes a woman sterile. The soif igla milsa, and then it turned out the Rav Chiya became aware what she did. Amala, icha yolteli chada kreis acherta. If you would only give me one more pair of children, how much I would have appreciated. And the farshim indicate that Rav Chiya was already mekayim the mitzvah of puruvu, but still he wanted to have more children because of the mitzvah of erev al tanach yodecha. The farshim, the Pesukim discuss if a woman is allowed to drink something that will make her sterile. Certainly, the Pesukim say that if she's already pregnant, it's certainly usher. If she isn't, there's a machloikus to what circumstances she may. The chelkus mechaikik and the Beis Shmuel say that under all circumstances she could drink this type of, take this kind of treatment. The Atzei Arozim says that only in a situation where she has a problem, like in this situation where it was the Atzei Rozum says it's only when it's a Mokum Sakana, and the Bach and the Mashal say it doesn't have to be a Sakana, could even be b'makom tzar legda. However, the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer that says that this doesn't apply nowadays, because in the times of Chazal, when men were married to one woman, so even if one woman drank, one wife drank the Kais Ikrim, he had other wives. But now where each husband only has one wife, and he has a Chiyah Puruvu, his wife should not drink the Kais Ikrim. Domemar, Yehuda v'cheskia, Achi, Yehuda and Cheskia were twins, Pazi v'zati, Achvasa were twin sisters. Ask the Gemara v'loy Mifkadi, are women not obligated in the mitzvah of Puruvu? V'amar v'achabar v'ketina, Amar v'yitzchok, there was a story of one woman, Shechetzi Shifcha v'chetzi b'chayrim, was half a Shifcha and chetzi b'chayrim, v'kofes rabvas b'chayrim. Her owner had a freer in order that she should be able to get married and have children. But if she's not obligated to have children, why was her owner obligated to free her? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he didn't have to free her in order that she should mekayim the mitzvah puruvu. Women aren't obligated in the mitzvah puruvu. It was the reason they obligated him to free her was because minik hefka nagaba, she was not acting appropriately, and they wanted her to be able to get married, and then she would have proper behavior. As we finish this sugya about children, about women not having children and having to get divorced, it's important to indicate that Tosfos tells us, the last Tosfos of the Perek, that one should not be quick to divorce his wife because they didn't have children. And he says, Kel Shakai Rachmu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always can have Rachmanis that they should have children. And it's interesting that I saw from the Michas Alazar, who quotes the Kajnitz Magid, that would say that if a person doesn't have children, they would come to him to write a Kameya, and he would write the words of Tosfos that it should be a skula that woman and husband should be Zoycha to have children. Hadron Lachabal Yevimtoi, Hadron Lachabal Yevimtoi, Hadron Lachabal Al Yevimtoi.